Let's see. Thank you. The consent agenda is approved. Carla, please read. Well, let's see. What time is it? Oh, it's 9:45. So shall we have our first time certain? Yes, please read that item.
Okay. Item 167, Portland Streetcar Annual Report for 2018.
Okay. Right. Okay. So it's a pleasure to bring forward our one time certain this morning, the annual report from the Portland Streetcar, our world-class streetcar system. I'm going to let the experts get into the details shortly, but suffice to say that the past year has been an active and exciting one for Portland Streetcar Inc., our nonprofit that or the nonprofit that operates the system in close partnership with the Portland Bureau of Transportation. With my focus on transportation equity, I'm especially proud of the Streetcar Advisory Committee that meets monthly and is made up of a wide array of members that focus on how the system can better serve those with disabilities and our elderly community, two groups who use the streetcar in substantial numbers. With that said, let's hear from our panel, Transportation Interim Director Chris Warner, PSI Executive Director Dan Bauer, and Board of Directors Chair Dennis Allen. Welcome, and please state your name for the record as you begin.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner, and the rest of the council. For the record, Chris Warner, the Interim Director of the Portland Bureau of Transportation. I'd also like to recognize Catherine Levine, who is the Division Manager for Streetcar and is the one of the all-stars at PBOT that does the day-to-day operation streetcar. Really appreciate her work. So this is the fifth annual report for the Portland streetcar performance, and here we are talking about 2018. Streetcar, as the commissioner said, is owned and operated by the City of Portland. We contract with the nonprofit Portland Streetcar Inc. and its board of directors for operations assistance, vision, and advocacy. And we also, it's an important partnership we have with TriMet, which provides rail transit operators and mechanics, as well as over $8 million every year in operations funding for streetcar. Streetcar service supports our shared goals for a livable community and served by as the commissioner said, the accessibility and the part of public transit is very important for us. We continue to see denser urban development in the central city, and the influence that these fixed rails have really does help shape our city and how people choose to get around. One statistic I'll throw out as we move to the slides is 49% of all housing units built in Portland within the last 20 years were constructed within a quarter mile of the streetcar tracks, and that includes a third of all subsidized affordable housing in the city of Portland. Additionally, Streetcar is a proud partner in the region's low-income fare program, which is operated by TriMet. And the city is also, as we implement our enhanced transit corridors, we will be using this fixed rail asset we have in Streetcar in order to make the central city move even better. Today, the streetcar carries more passengers per day than two of our light rail lines and more than any one bus line in the city. It's critical that we work together to keep the trains moving, and as we have more growth and housing in the central city, we're really excited about the opportunity that streetcar presents for us. A couple of things that I'll highlight before I turn it over to Dennis and Dan is we're very excited to announce that our contractor will soon be implementing the improvements on Northeast Grand Avenue at the 84 on-ramp, which has been quite a kind of a bottleneck for the streetcar on the east side. And then we'll also, to increase the reliability of the system, with your assistance, we've actually in the process of purchasing three new streetcars. Those streetcars you approved in 2018, which we built here in America at Brookville in Pennsylvania. And this will really help us make sure that our fleet, we have the spare cars, but also as we improve the amount of service that we give on the existing streetcar, it's having these new streetcars is vitally important. Council also approved in the last budget $370,000 for developing a cost and benefit analysis and the land use services for the possible extension of the streetcar into Northwest Portland. We'll be talking about that. And we'll also be talking about a federal grant that we had from the FTA, which will also do some additional analysis for equity work and land use and mobility challenges that we have in Northwest Portland and where we're going in the future. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Dennis, who is the chair of the Portland Streetcar Inc. board, and he'll take it from there.
Thanks. Good morning. Dennis Allen, board chair for Portland Streetcar Inc. Thanks for having us. PSI, as we call it, was formed over 25 years ago with the same goal that we have today. It's a public-private partnership where all the stakeholders have an input and a say into the streetcar system that they have together funded. Our board consists of 16 members. It's always been a mix of public institutions, transit professionals, transit advocates, nonprofit and for-profit real estate owners that are along and near the line usually, as well as key members of the city bureaus and TriMet, so a very collaborative group that gets together periodically and has their say in how the streetcar operations are run. Our current and ongoing goals for the organization are to focus on the current operations and serving our riders the best way we can. So right now that includes focus on the operations, on vehicle procurement, and getting some new vehicles to keep those operations going, as well as expansion in the right areas, which Dan will talk some about, and so that we in the city can achieve our shared goals of climate, housing, and jobs. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Dennis. My name is Dan Bauer. I'm the executive director of Portland Streetcar Inc. Actually, the two previous speakers have covered a litany of highlights for the year. So I think we have pictures to go along with that, but I want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to understand what we're working on and understands the opportunities where you can plug in and help us make our project more successful. Just real quick for context here, there's the map of our system. Now we have three lines, the north-south line from South Waterfront to Northwest 23rd, and then the A loop and the B loop, which cross the Tillicum and Broadway bridges, going clockwise and counterclockwise. We carry about 15,500 passengers per day, which is a very, very successful transit system in the city. And as Chris was saying, that's actually more than two of our light rail lines and more than any bus line in the city. So very, very heavily used system. I want to just highlight this ramp. One thing we did this year was we installed automatic passenger counters on all of our trains, so we can finally begin to have a more robust conversation about who's riding and where and what's being accessed. And this is a heat map showing how often we're deploying our ADA curb ramps across the system. We deploy the ramps more than 35 times per hour across the system, which is a rate five times out of the TriMet system. So we have a lot of people living downtown trying to access services using the streetcar to move around. The other thing I want to highlight is we're currently running 12 streetcars. For the last 3 years, we've been running 14 during the peak. We've had to cut that down to 12 due to some maintenance issues that we'll talk about in a little bit. Chris mentioned our business access transit lane. I think I've been sitting in this chair for almost 5 years talking about this project. But we are excited to have a contractor on board beginning in March. This is just a visual of what's going to occur there. But we had nice long conversations about enhanced transit corridors in this council, and I think it's really exciting the city's moving forward on keeping the buses moving and keeping the streetcar moving. And this will give us a chance to move the B loop through rush hour through Grand and Davis. So we're very excited about that. So those are great transportation metrics, but the streetcar story obviously contains two sides. We have to talk about the land use piece as well, and when it comes to the benefits. As Chris said, almost nearly half of the housing in the city in the last 20 years has been built directly on the streetcar line. That is a plan. That is exactly what the city wanted to do, and that's exactly what's happening. That's not an accident. We have a lot more planned under construction. Nearly a third of all the jobs in the city are on the streetcar line, and over a third of all subsidized affordable housing units are on the streetcar line. Now, the people who ride the system, just like any other transit system in the world, happen to be the people who live right next to it. So, our demographics, which we've been updating on an annual basis, they match the people who live next to the streetcar line. So those who ride the streetcar are the exact same people that live next to it. We have a significant number of people who don't have cars. So, again, consistent with our comp plan goals about reducing car ownership. A significant number of people using the low-income fare program, and a lot of people just using the system to go about their daily lives and reach services in the central city. Talking more about maintenance, on the maintenance side, this was actually probably our most challenging year in terms of keeping our fleet in place. These are two pictures of massive derailments that we had this year. The car on the top right is still out of service. It's going to be out of service for quite a while. We currently have, I think, four, maybe five streetcars on, I guess we'll call it long-term disability. We don't expect to have enough cars to run our normal service for quite some time. So we are running 12 cars. We have zero spares, and that's our new service right now. So it's a train every 20 minutes on the east side and a train about every 10 minutes on the west side. In addition to just things like this happening, seven of our cars are now 19 years old. And if you get on them, you can see that they look midlife, and they are ready for some type of refurbishment process to begin. So we're gonna have to have a conversation about what we want to do with these cars that are now 20 years old and are going to need some type of midlife refurbishment as we move forward. I spent the last week in Brookville, Pennsylvania, which you can see some pictures from here. This is a very small town. It's about 3,500 people in the middle of nowhere, kind of near where Punxsutawney Phil hangs out for Groundhog's Day. But they are actively building our projects right now. This is actually this project being built here was for Milwaukee. But we are working with Sound Transit now to move that project along. I'm feeling pretty good about that. Yeah.
If the manufacturing plant's in the middle of Pennsylvania, in the middle of nowhere, how do these cars get delivered to Portland?
Truck. It costs about $120,000 to ship them from Pennsylvania to here on truck.
By truck?
Yeah.
A diesel truck.
I would guess. Yeah.
A wide load.
Yeah.
That's it. That's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. I remind them that we have a manufacturing facility in Test Track, 10 miles outside of downtown Portland, but we haven't gotten there yet. You can see the new paint schemes for some of the cars on the bottom left here. So the cars are just ever so slightly different than what we have today in terms of where the windows are and where the doors are. So we had to develop a little bit different paint scheme, but we have those available if people want to dig into that fun topic. So those will be ready. The first one will be delivered in August 2020 at this point, and then every 2 months from that point on. Okay. These are pictures of those cars operating in Milwaukee on the top and Oklahoma City on the bottom. The cars will look a little bit different than these, not quite so round on the nose, but you can get a sense of the new product that's out there right now. And I would say we also had new systems opening up in Milwaukee, El Paso, and Oklahoma City. But other cities like Tacoma, Seattle, Kansas City are actively expanding their streetcar system because they're seeing what's happening in their community and they're wanting to have the project begin to accrue more benefits there. So we're doing the same thing here in Portland. Chris talked about our opportunity in Northwest Portland. I want to just spend a little bit of time to make sure everybody knows what's happening there. We have, for some time, been pursuing an extension of the streetcar system to essentially the Montgomery Park as a terminus. This would be up at 27th and Wilson. Montgomery Park is the second largest office building in Oregon. It has about 3,500 employees. Every one of them gets free parking. It's surrounded by 18 acres of mixed-use land. And next to that is the former ESCO site, which is about 20 acres, which during the comp plan, you all changed the land use from industrial to general employment. So between those two parcels, you've got a fairly significant opportunity to think about shaping the city and thinking about achieving some of the goals that we're all pursuing in terms of climate change, affordable housing, and access to services and jobs. And I would encourage the city to be aggressive in this conversation. We are a piece of it, but we're not the only piece. It's a broad conversation. So we have a couple of things going on this front. Well, let me just highlight. First of all, this map is showing the streetcar extension going from Montgomery Park, tying into our existing system at 18th and 19th, crossing the Broadway Bridge with a new turnaround at Convention Center, which would allow us to have 7-minute service between where the system ties in at 18th and 19th and the Convention Center. So Lloyd District to Pearl District would go from what we have today at 20-minute headways to something more like 7 to 10. So that's a significant benefit on both sides. Chris talked about some of the funds we're using to pursue this conversation. We essentially have three funding sources going on right now. There's what PSI is fundraising privately with our own fundraising efforts through property owners or anybody else. And we're looking at trying to answer some of the questions that are probably more on the private side in terms of if we were to pursue a local improvement district, what would that look like? Pursuing graphics and communications to help the property owners understand what's happening. And then we're doing the project management and trying to stay at the middle of the conversation, which has the opportunity to kind of get pulled in a lot of different directions. So we're kind of there as a leadership role and convening body. We have the $370,000 that was provided by the general fund this current fiscal year, and that's on the bottom left here. You can see a majority of those funds are going to the Bureau of Planning. We're talking about potential land use scenarios in Northwest Portland and what that would look like from a housing and jobs balance, and how much affordable housing could be provided if you pursued X, Y, and Z zoning changes. And then also, the Bureau of Planning is leading a equity analysis or equity balance sheet conversation, trying to identify the who's benefiting and who's being burdened by the, both the costs and the benefits of the streetcar extension. So that is a conversation led by the Bureau of Planning with Prosper and the Housing Bureau and PBOT and PSI staff. So we can talk more about that as we need to.
Mr. Bauer, if I could just interject, I think it was Willamette Week ran an article this week about mm-hmm. the possible Northwest expansion or extension, and indicated that the three cars we have on order are for that expansion. If you could speak to that.
That is not correct.
That is not correct, yeah. I just wanted to put that out there, although I'm very supportive of and excited about this potential extension. Those cars are to increase capacity on our existing lines.
Correct. Yes, this would require, we think, probably six cars and an expansion of the maintenance facility.
And we haven't actually made that decision yet.
Nope. And the one thing I want to impress upon everybody is this conversation is very early. So let's tee up the questions now so we can make sure we're answering the right questions. And we don't have to tee them up now. We can provide opportunities. But let me just kind of flag through the scope of work.
One moment. Commissioner Hardesty.
I do have a question. Thank you, Commissioner. So there's conversation about creating a service improvement district before we've actually who's involved in that conversation? And is it just the property owners that are standing to benefit significantly if we make this expansion? So why is that conversation happening separate from the bigger, broader policy conversation?
I wouldn't say it's a detailed conversation. It's a conversation about if we're going to go down this path. Historically, we've used a certain type of funding mix to get to the outcome of streetcar, and that tends to be in the 10 to 15% of the capital project is funded by the property owners adjacent to the streetcar line. That's how we've done it in the past. They are wanting to have the conversation of what would that look like if we applied that methodology to this community? What would the burden be on the property owners? And that's about as far as they've taken it.
So I just want to be clear that I don't want deals being cut before we've had the opportunity to have our due diligent deliberation, because I am very concerned that these property owners stand to make a small fortune if we decide to develop in that area, and we should not be driven based on their profit, but we should be driven based on the city's needs.
Mm-hmm. I think they would agree, and they would welcome input from the city.
And I think any kind of local improvement district would have to come to council. So it's
certainly. Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, by the time it comes to council, you've already worked out a deal. And so I'd like to see us be much more proactive so that the council actually gets to be involved in the deliberation before the deal is cut.
Sure. Yeah, we'll keep council informed in terms of all the activities. So.
With LRTs, we do occasionally change them when they get to council.
I think everybody involved in the project would agree with what you're saying. Yeah, this is me early on flagging that we need to be starting to have this conversation because it's happening. And if you're up there, you can see the development is occurring with or without. This is happening.
Can I ask a question? Because I just want to make sure that we're not conflating issues here. There was some talk once upon a time of baseball taking a look at ESCO as the possible site. The conversation about connecting Montgomery Park began independent of baseball. Is that correct?
Correct. Yep.
And also, to what extent are you doing forecasting about the kinds of population growth and other growth in that area that A, streetcar might help leverage, and B, serve? Mm-hmm. So in terms of your planning, how do you look at an opportunity like that? Do you look at it as the leverage to get the development, or do you look at it as in part serving what you anticipate to be the population? And it's already obviously a pretty dense neighborhood, that part of Northwest. So
it's a mix. There are existing destinations there, like we talked about. The Montgomery Park is a very large employment site. I would offer there's not a lot of population there right now. It is currently zoned industrial, fairly low density land for the most part. We are looking for an opportunity to examine the potential land use changes. So you have what is there today. What the Bureau of Planning is using the money for, both the FTA grant as well as the city money, is to examine five different land use scenarios. So if we shifted it from A to B to C to D, how much housing would that produce? How much affordable housing would that produce? And then what type of jobs would that produce? And then from there, you can kind of get a projection of, does that match up with our expectations for ridership?
So. The other thing I'll just note, and we've had this conversation before at council, is that we have a number of failed infrastructure systems within this district. I mean, we had anticipated, for example, that 23rd and 405 would become over time tough. I use that route a lot. I mean, it is really burdened. So one of the things I'll be interested in is, given the tremendous strains on the existing infrastructure in that part of Northwest, how much of that burden do we take off through fixed rail? How do we address some of the structural problems? Because there's a lot of traffic, mm-hmm. and that particular intersection is a, I think you describe it as a failed intersection in terms of the volume of cars.
That's a great question.
And I'm looking at Chris when I said you.
I know.
PSI.
I would agree. Yeah.
No, absolutely. And one of the things, in fact, I think we'll be doing this later this week, is TriMet, with the help of us, will be doing bus service from Northeast Portland across the Fremont Bridge to Northwest Portland. So that's something that we're launching, and hopefully that can take a little bit of strain off the intersection. But that's always been a very challenging intersection, and I know we do have plans to try to address it. But it's a big, expensive undertaking. So, but I think incremental changes, I think, are in the future.
Thank you.
Actually, so what, just the last piece there is the FTA grant. So we actually, Metro applied for and received a $1.3 million grant from the Federal Transit Administration. This is a transit-oriented development planning grant. You can spend the money on land use planning and on transportation planning, but you cannot spend it on rail engineering planning. And Commissioner Fish, this would be where you get to answer the question of what are the transportation issues today and what would they be in a future land use scenario? And what projects do we need to have teed up in order to support either a new community or the existing community? So the FTA grant will support land use planning and transportation planning around the planned investment. So those three things together, the city money, the PSI fundraising money, and the FTA grant, are all kind of occurring at the same time. We're just beginning the work now. And I want to just use this as an opportunity to make sure you all have a chance to either ask questions today or follow up with us in the future to make sure that our scope of work is what you have in mind. Because now really is the time. I think I'll leave it there.
I think that concludes our presentation.
Great. Thank you all for being here. Do I hear a motion to accept the report?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion from Commissioner Fish and a second from Commissioner Hardesty. Carla, please call the roll.
Fritz.
So over the years, I've gone from being very highly skeptical about the streetcar and thinking that it was, you know, kind of playground for the rich, to looking at every year your reports, which continue to get better and better. And thank you so much for the work that's Portland Streetcar Inc. and the partnership with the Portland Bureau of Transportation is an exemplary one. And I really appreciate all of the work that many people here have done. Let's just highlight again, 32% of streetcar riders earn under $30,000 a year. So this is not a vehicle for the rich. 38% of streetcar riders come from households without a car. 23% of streetcar riders do not have a driver's license. And as you said, streetcar drivers use the mobility ramp, or more particularly, people in using mobility devices use the mobility ramps 35 times per hour, which I think you said is five times what TriMet does. So it's really impressive. It's a people mover. And it's notable. It's 100% renewable energy, zero emissions. It's both a job creator and a land use planning tool. And everything that Commissioner Charlie Hale said was going to happen, in fact, has happened. And I greatly appreciate all of the work that Bureau Directors, Commissioners in Charge, and the Streetcar Inc. board and staff have done over many years. Catherine Levine, thank you for all your work as well. This is the kind of thing that Portland does well, and I appreciate all the work. Aye.
Fish?
Dennis, thank you for your service. How long have you been the board chair?
A little under a year, but I've been on the board for six.
And you took over from?
For Jim Mark.
Jim Mark, right. Well, I'm old enough to remember working with you previously when you were helping to lead negotiations or discussions about the Zidell development and now doing this. So this is pure public service, so thank you for doing it. Thank you for your service. I want to just echo what Commissioner Fritz said. I think I was an early streetcar skeptic, trying to understand how it fit into an integrated system and who it served and what were the benefits. This, in your fifth annual report, I think you've made clear what the benefits are. You know, I live and work downtown, and I don't have a car. So it's important to me to have a range of choices. I'm doing a lot more walking, ride share, bumming rides off my daughter, just trying to be strategic about how I get around. And it is the most liberating thing in the world not to actually have to focus on owning and operating a car. It's completely liberating. And there's so many other choices. And you know, even with my neuropathy, frankly, if I end up being able to take a longer walk, you take in the city and you see things that you wouldn't see just driving around. So it's an excellent report. I also want to pull out a couple of statistics that you gave us. 82% on time. That's actually remarkable given how congested some of the routes are that you're operating on and how constrained they are. So congratulations on that. 15,000 riders. Of the 15,000 riders, do we have a sense how many of those are tourists?
What we published in the before is less than 5%.
Less than 5%?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is still, that's still 300,000 people a year.
That's a lot of people.
Insignificant, but that's not the basis of our ridership, nor should it be.
Okay, so we get about 16 million visitors a year, and we're saying that about 300,000 people use it. I mean,
our lowest ridership stop is the convention center. How's that?
Yeah. My anecdotal sense is I see a lot of people who are, you know, visiting our city that use the streetcar just to, you know. I think one of the goals of streetcar over time is to get you downtown from one place to another faster than it would take you to walk. So, and that has a lot to do with what PBOT is looking at in terms of circulation and how to speed things up and create better mobility downtown. The land use piece is the extra dividend of streetcar. And if the conversations do heat up about the ESCO site, which is obviously a terrific site, my guess is it's going to have huge environmental issues before you ever get to the day that there's development. But if we do get to a point of development, it's also an enormous opportunity to build in specific concrete goals around affordable housing. And as we think about adding infrastructure and streetcar and providing benefits and public resources, we should make sure that we get the best possible deal. And I would like to see a neighborhood as integrated as the Pearl is in terms of affordable housing and market rate housing. Thank you for an excellent report. I'm pleased to accept it. Aye.
Hardesty?
Thank you. I guess I'm the new skeptic. And so I don't know how long it took the other two commissioners to not be a skeptic, but I'm always concerned when we present information in a way that paints a picture that I question. As I said in my office, you know, I've seen heavy enforcement in areas that are not in the Pearl, right? So in the Lloyd Center area. And I've asked for additional information about how poor people are experiencing the streetcar, right? I'd like to know more about whether this is a commuting vehicle or whether this is just a fun vehicle that people use because they want to do something fun in Northwest Portland. I trust my colleagues. I know they've done their due diligence, but I'm a show me person, so I'm going to be skeptical until you show me the information that makes me comfortable with thinking that this is an investment that works for all Portland. I want to continue to look at the data to make sure that this is being used as intended, which is an opportunity to get people around town. But if we're talking about getting people out of cars and we're talking about getting people out of cars during rush hour, does this make sense? Because many of the cars I've been in are pretty small, and so you put a couple of wheelchairs in there and then you can't get a lot of other people in there, right? So just know, I thank you for the report. It's very well done, but I'm not sold yet that you should be expanding or we should be investing more dollars. Aye.
Hardesty, Udaly?
Well, thank you all for being here, and thank you for the report. My colleagues have already extolled many of the virtues of the streetcar that I would have covered. So I'll just say, as a public transit user, and especially someone who's often traveling with a wheelchair user, that the streetcar is my favorite form of public transit. It's the most kind of seamless entry. It's much more flexible than the buses and MAX as far as where we're able to be. And I've never had to let a streetcar go by and not ride it because the wheelchair spots were taken up, which I really appreciate. Also, I think I'll just take this opportunity to let the public know that the TriMet's low-income reduced fares also apply to streetcar, mm-hmm. correct?
Yep.
And if you're interested in finding out if you qualify for that program, just go to TriMet.org. And with that, I vote aye. And the report is accepted.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.